We come back to continue to talk about the Trinity and its impact in our lives. How the uniqueness of our belief in a Trinitarian God should cause some differences in our faith. I'm going to open tonight with this quote before we kind of talk about how your weeks went. The degree to which you can see the divine image where you'd rather not tells me how fully the divine image is now operative within you. Well, as Daryl pointed out, as we head towards inauguration, or as we continue to watch confirmation hearings, or just talk to our friends, it's more important than ever, or as important as it's ever been, that we really work to see God in the other. There is a great episode of the show Blackish that we almost just watched together tonight that really talks to this. It talks about learning to be present with others. It's called Lemons. I highly recommend it. It's streaming on a computer somewhere for free if you don't have TV. So that was it last week. We talked about, we've come to this place where if we begin to see the Trinity as a kinetic entity, not bound by any particular shape that we've tried to hold it to, but rather moving and flowing, and we begin to experience that flow in our own lives as we see our image and the Imago Dei, the way in which we are created in the image of God. Then last week, we talked a lot about how do we begin to see that image in the other. And so we talked about finding joy with others, the other. Anybody have any great interactions over the week where you really saw God present in the other that you would love to share about? You don't have to. That's awesome. Well, there's a great line in that episode, which I just didn't want to make y'all watch another episode of a show, but they're having all these responses to the election, and one of the characters is making lemonade for a party, and they're like, oh, so life gives you lemons, you got to make lemonade out of it. No. Oh, so you're really channeling your inner Beyonce. You want to talk about lemonade? No, it's just lemonade made with love from one person to, you know, it's just this idea that it's not all politics. Daryl, you want to talk about how much something?
I was going to mention this. Firehouse.
Firehouse. So, why don't you hold on to that feeling? Not going to sing that song. Street lights, people. Anybody else? I'll share mine. Some of you, I don't think anybody in this room's been, oh yeah, you've been to Haiti with me. I don't do accents. I mean, I know I live in the South and that's sad. I'm not even talking about like foreign languages. I'm telling you, you get a bad enough accent in English, North, South, West, East. I don't understand what you're talking about. If you speak English with a big accent, I just struggle. Well, I was going to make an Asian dish, and I needed something they don't sell in the Caucasian grocery stores. I don't know what else you call it, but they don't sell it, or they don't sell it at burritos. They sell it at the Asian market that doesn't have any English. I just had a great time, man. I was in the Asian market trying to tell this lady what I wanted. There's barely any English on the labels on the shelf. But in that moment, I'm sitting there hanging out with this woman who it starts out like, anyway, it was just this like joy-filled, I don't know anything about her. But I was here with a person who I struggled to understand. And she thought she had to think I was an idiot because, I won't go into why, but she must have. You can draw your own conclusions. And she, man, but she was just great. She was laughing at me and then with me. And I thought, this is just in many ways, this is the most meaningless interaction of my day. I'm buying black bean paste. But on the other hand, here is this other person who, culturally, I don't know what we have in common, but we have this common humanity. And there's something between us that is more powerful than language or diet or accent. And I found a lot of joy with her. Anybody else? Somebody was real upset. Not at me. They were telling me they were so upset. I sent them a video called "Guy on a Buffalo," and it's just this dumb song about a dude on a buffalo, and it's like an overdubbed old movie about a guy who rides a buffalo and saves some babies from Indians. I mean, it's stupid. And I was like, "Hey, here, have you seen this?" And they were like, "It's exactly what I needed." Now, because sometimes the holiest thing you can do is just alleviate the anxiety in a situation or the anger. So good, that's awesome. But not to him. You're not bringing it up to him. Now, you're talking to us about it, but I asked you to share your story. That's good. That's great, Barbara. Anybody else got anything they want to share before we talk a bit? So now we're going to talk about atomic bonds, which are different than atomic bombs. Though we might talk a little, it would be great if Tim may know more about nuclear things than we do, but some of y'all might. We talk a little science. So you just don't tell, if I'm wrong, just don't tell him. Space. That's where I was going. So. These are the voyages. So, space. There's a lot of interesting stuff to say about space, because space is one of these things that is representative of science, that is representative of a real rub, fly in the ointment for people of faith. We grew up as a people with a certain cosmology. We talked about this, if you're a longtime Wednesday Nighter, and we've talked about when we talk about a different way of viewing the world and post-enlightenment. So, but you know, the Bible itself espouses a certain understanding of nature and cosmology that is just scientifically inaccurate. There is no firmament of water above and firmament below and river. I mean, if you want to spend your time like reconciling that, go ahead. We used to be a people who believed in a geocentric universe, that the Earth was obviously central because that is where we are, and we're it, right? We're as awesome as it gets. And then people got in trouble because they said, well, you know, we're watching this, and instead of the Earth being the point around which all things spin, we are seeing instead that the sun is the largest body of gravity in the sky, and so everything is actually spinning around the sun, and you get killed for that, right? And then you realize, well, the sun is really just a minor star in a much larger and that's going outward, right? So what we now know, or believe mostly to be true, is that the universe not only began with expansion, but is still expanding and is speeding up. And so even everything revolving around the sun's not technically true, because really everything is just spreading out and revolving within little clusters of revolving. It's the kind of stuff that keeps you up at night, because we are just so small, so finite. It's awesome, right? It's awesome and scary and magnificent, and yet we know not only from Scripture, but from experience, that we are creatures who are loved by something larger than ourselves. And so that's one direction about space. We know that things expand.
Brandon?
Yes. The somebody was drinking Red Bull the other day, and so it feels like, what's Red Bull? Nothing. Don't worry. That's on the astrophysical level. The other thing we're finding out is in the microcosmic level, things are much more complicated than we ever knew. Used to, a table was a table. That's what that thing is. And if you really went back to where we didn't have man-made stuff, that's just a rock because that's a rock. And it's all it is. At its most base level, it's a rock. Well, and then somebody was like, no, everything's made of matter. And really everything, eventually they decide everything's an atom, right? But now, an atom is actually things that move, right? An atom is actually three distinct parts moving. But of course now, in the post-new, all of that's still the gravity, the spreading thing, that's all Newtonian physics. But now we're talking about quantum physics, where we understand that we really still don't understand what the most basic unit of structure is. But what we have found out is that the same things, molecules, bits, subatomic particles, atoms that make up this table also make up the sun and also make up me. And then at a particulate level, they are not different. They are differently ordered, differently connected, but they are not of a different substance. So, jeez, I need to have one of these implanted in my wrist or something. The world is infinitely larger than we can imagine, and we cannot get small enough to understand how quarks function and how things can be two places at the same time, blah, blah, blah. Science is weird. That said, what we are finding out is that physicists and contemplatives are confirming that the foundational nature of reality is relational. Everything is in relationship with everything else. Paul will write in Romans about nature screaming out the glory of God and being the great revealer of God. Paul had neither telescope nor microscope that we know of. Seems unlikely. He would have had probably glasses before he had either of those and would not have complained about being so blind. There's this joke about the connectedness between things, about, everybody who's a contemplative or a mystic is like, everything's connected. What is? It is. And you may be able to write that off as New Agey junk, but now what has been dismissed as either crazy mystic religion or New Agey junk is beginning to be scientifically understood to be true. It is connected. There are some studies even out there talking about, from a physical level, there's energy that passes between people when we are talking and dealing with one another that cannot be measured yet. But there is something that can be sensed at, that really happens between us. What makes an atom, is really not so much its parts as it is the relationship between them. The energy between them. What if, and what I'm suggesting at part at least is, as we talk about the Trinity, in different terms than the traditional evangelical Protestant ones, what if we might say that everything, I don't even say in the world, because that's really often confined to earth, what if everything in some way reflects deep truths about the Creator? And that connection is what matters. How would that change how we live? Well, part of this serves as reinforcement. Last week we talked about how we can't be complete without the other, and that is part of how we are designed to be. We're designed to be in community. Part of it is a reinforcement of that. Some days, it's real hard to have generous eyes. Some days, people are just jerks. And for me, at least, it helps to remember that whatever it is that that person is a jerk about that day, they are made of the exact same stuff as I am. And if you want to get like really crazy with it, matter is recycled, right? Atoms are recycled. So that, you know, have any of you ever had somebody try to sell, what's the Kirby vacuums at your house? We had one growing up. But I remember I had a buddy in college who sold them. And you know what I'm talking about when they vacuum and they pull off that disc and they vacuum your mattress and they pull off that disc and they say, well, I vacuumed with your vacuum. And this is all your dead skin that your vacuum didn't get that the Kirby got. Look how gross you are. They don't say that, but they need you to think you're nasty so that you will buy their $700 vacuum. It's a great vacuum, I'm sure. That stuff you slough off, everything in life sloughs off stuff. The sun, the stars, the moon. And I'm not talking about like overnight. I'm talking about ages and ages and ages, where eventually there is some possibility that there is some really similar things inside me that are inside Jamel, like some very similar pieces of matter, that we are related in a way that I cannot even understand. Side note, part of the reason we can't understand that is we really don't know what to do with the conscious mind. Science is still really struggling with the whole idea of consciousness. What makes you who you are? Well, I gave you an answer a few weeks ago about the divine image, but I'm just saying, part of what keeps me from recognizing the similarity is this ego, this id, this conscious reality of myself. Okay. Part of why I want to talk to you about the atom is to talk about a reinforcement of the idea that, like it or not, the same thing that is in you is in even the people you hate.
Mm-hmm. And we say, oh, but I understand that. You're just alive. And you're willing to.
It's really easy to give lip service to the idea that we are made of the same thing. And, I mean, gosh, this is a wide-ranging conversation about sociology and tribal gatherings and how we all grouped as people and this kind of hive mind. But if we are trying to become enlightened and aware of, I think what I hear you saying is it's great to talk about we're made of the same stuff, but there are barriers that we allow to get in our way all the time. It's actually a great segue. If what matters in an atom is the energy, the energy exists because of the interaction between different parts. I would argue that that's also the same thing that occurs within.
It's the pocket.
I would argue that the distinctions are actually even important. And that's what this mystery of the Trinity is, that the Trinity is one and three simultaneously. Just like you are, and I are the same, and different simultaneously. And what happens is that it is the energy, the way we negotiate and celebrate the things that make us different, that adds to our spiritual development and becoming more like the Trinity, the divine. Sure. There's a quote in here that I'm going to segue towards. Jamel, I may not be talking about what you're talking about. I don't know. Yeah, oh yeah. Yes. And it is the... But God, we like to hang on to the differences, don't we? I'm not like those people. In fact, I almost... Oh, gosh. There's a clip for... They're making a Baywatch movie, okay? They're making a movie about Baywatch. And there's a Zac Efron, who's a white guy. There's a line in there where it's this black police officer. And then The Rock, Dwayne Johnson standing there, and then Zac Efron, who's very, very tan in the movie. And the police officer says, "You people." So it's this black police officer talking to The Rock and talking to Zac Efron, who's very, very white but very tan in this movie. And he gets up like, "You people, you people, you can't talk about you." And The Rock says, "Dude, you are just very tan. You can't, this is not." It's like when I was at the Asian market the other day, there's like two lines. And there's a space to get back to the cash register, right? But the space is like this wide. And I almost said to the lady, like, that's clearly excluding me from getting to the cash register. That I don't sidle that way, right? Because I noticed what was different about us, even though as I'm celebrating all this stuff, right? I want to read you this quote and talk about it for just like 2 minutes, but there's one other thing I want to say about the differences between us. Hang on. Give me a second to think of the word. So I think one of the things we got to be careful about is even when we recognize how much we have the same, there's a term called cultural appropriation, which is when you from one culture assume another culture without the suffering that has shaped that culture. And the term for that is cultural appropriation. You can learn to love a culture without appropriating it, without belittling it. And by culture, I also mean people, right? I mean, I don't want to talk just in broad strokes. This goes to what you were talking about, Michelle. There's a quote in here. It's next Wednesday's. It's by a guy named Miroslav Volf. And somebody help me out with my history here. I'm drawing some blanks. He is Serbian. This is a horrible broad stroke here, but one of the countries that was devastated by civil war, Serbs and Croatians, yeah. Croats, right? Serbs and Croats. He is Croats defeated the Serbians, vice versa. Doesn't matter. He's the one that lost, okay? he is a theologian who is part of a people who were decimated by people who were very similar to them, but also outsiders. And he has a book called Exclusion and Embrace that is phenomenal. But this gets to the crux of what Michelle was talking about. Forgiveness flounders because I exclude the enemy from the community of humans, even as I exclude myself from the community of sinners. That's exactly what us and them does. They are all bad. We are all good.
We are so good.
Hey, yeah, that's no fun, is it? So, I'm not going to go into the distinctions. We're just out of time, but I just want to reiterate that while we are all made of the same things, we are also made to interact with each other, and it's the energy that's important. So, in addition to your reading this week, the homework, I'm going to abbreviate it for you and just say this. I want you to pay attention to the energy in the room. And I don't mean just this room, I mean whatever room. I've said it before, we often tell our kids when they come barging in to talk about something to read the room. Because we might be having a super serious conversation and you were talking about a video game. Read the room. Part of it is, we don't want to talk about reading a room or feeling the energy in a room, but I want you to. And by that, I mean, I want you to pay attention to the energy in the spaces you inhabit with other people. Kathy, Daryl brought up a great point about how he felt. Feeling is one way to talk about energy. He's feeling warmed in the cockles of his heart by his interaction. Kathy talked about it another way. If you've been in an elevator with people you don't know, you don't have to know them to know what they're feeling. You intuit that. Unfortunately, when we are one of the primary actors in a scenario, we often don't pay attention to the energy in the room. So interact with people, continue interacting, and we're going to focus a little bit more on the energy between the distinctions when we talk again. We have a business meeting next week. I hope you'll be here for it. Anybody got any questions, further comments? Let's close with prayer. Gracious God, may you help us to see that which unites us. And may you give us eyes to celebrate that which makes us different. To find great joy in the multitude and manifest ways in which you make yourself known in all these personalities and all these people. That we might find you in the space between us, even as you are in us. May it be in us, and may we not look for them, instead recognizing that we are them and they are us. It's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.